Thanks for listening to our podcast. We've got more information and additional resources at probe.org/podcast. And be sure to check out our life-changing Summer Mind Games Camp for high school and college students.
Pluralism. It does not and cannot work when it comes to the world's major religions. Rick Wade explains why, now on Probe.
In a humorous short article in which he parodied some of the silly beliefs people hold today, Steve Turner wrote, "We believe all religions are basically the same. At least the one we read was. They all believe in love and goodness. They only differ on matters of creation, sin, heaven, hell, God, and salvation." It's the common belief today that all religions are basically the same. They may look different. They may differ with respect to holy books or forms of worship or specific ideas about God. But at root, they're pretty much the same. That idea has become so deeply rooted that it's considered common knowledge. To express doubt about it draws an incredulous stare. How could anyone be so narrow-minded? Obviously, the person is a bigot who probably hates people of other religions, or people with no religion at all. On the surface, at least, it's clear enough that the various religions of the world are different. Theists believe in one personal god. Hindus believe in many gods. Atheists deny any god exists. Just on that issue alone, the differences are obvious. Add to that the many beliefs about the dilemma of the human race and how it is to be solved. Why don't people understand the significance of these differences? On the scholarly level, the fundamental objection is this. It is believed that if there is a god, he, or she, or it, is too different from us for us to know him, or her, or it. Because of our limitations, he couldn't possibly reveal himself to us. Religious writings, then, are merely human attempts at explaining religious experience without actually conveying objective truth about God. Philosopher John Hick wrote that it's really a problem of language. Statements about God don't have the same truth value as ones about, say, the weather, because there is no agreement about how to determine the truth value of statements about God, he says. We use religious language because it is meaningful to us, but there's really no way to confirm the truth of such talk. Because we can't really know what the truth is about God, we do our best to guess at it. For this reason, we are not to suggest that our beliefs are true and others false. This week we'll consider the issue of religious pluralism, the belief that there are many valid ways to God. Tomorrow, let's dig into the subject by starting with some definitions and a reminder of what historical Christianity teaches about God and us and how we can be reconciled to Him.
You've been listening to Probe with your host, Rick Wade. Discover why religious pluralism doesn't work. Get Rick's transcript today. It's free and it's at probe.org. And join us next time as we help you reclaim and proclaim the truth, God's exclusive truth, here on Probe.
Today we need to lay some groundwork for our discussion of religious pluralism. Let's begin with some definitions. There are three basic positions on the question of the relation of Christianity to other religions. The historic view is called exclusivism. That word can be a real turnoff to people because we live in an inclusivistic era. What it means in this context is that the claim of Christianity that Jesus is the only way means that all other ways to God are excluded. Another view is called inclusivism. This is the belief that while salvation is made possible only by the cross of Christ, it can be obtained even by people who are of and remain in other religious traditions. By religious pluralism, we mean the belief that all religions, at least the major enduring ones, are valid as ways to relate to God. There's nothing unique about Christ. He was one of many influential religious teachers and leaders. This is the position we'll be considering this week. Because pluralism is tempting even for Christians today, it would be good to review some basic Christian beliefs. The Bible is clear that there is one God. Through Isaiah the prophet, God said, "I am the Lord, and there is no other. Besides me, there is no God." That's Isaiah 45. Philosophically speaking, it is impossible that there could be two or more gods like the God of the Bible. If God is everywhere present at once, as Psalm 139 declares, and if He is capable of doing whatever He pleases without hindrance, as the psalmist and Daniel declare, how could there be two gods like this? They would have to be absolutely identical. And if so, they'd be the same God. The Bible is also clear that there is only one Savior. Jesus said, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me," John 14. To the rulers and elders and scribes in Jerusalem, Peter declared, "There is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven that has been given among men by which we must be saved," Acts 4. In addition, it was theologically necessary for salvation to come through Christ alone. In Hebrews chapter 9, we read that the death of the sacrifice was necessary. According to Hebrews chapter 7, the Savior had to be divine. And Hebrews 2 says the Savior had to be human. Jesus is the only one who fulfills those requirements. Having laid this groundwork, tomorrow we'll begin looking at weaknesses of pluralism itself. There are a number of problems with religious pluralism. Over the next 3 days, I'll discuss three of them. The objection I want to consider today is that religious pluralism can't accomplish its goal. What do I mean by that? Pluralists want to take people of all religions seriously, so it grants validity to all religions, at least the major enduring ones. But then it tells adherents of these religions that their beliefs aren't literally true. John Hick is a philosopher who is perhaps the best-known exponent of religious pluralism. He claims to have undergone a genuine conversion experience as a college student and immediately began to associate with members of InterVarsity Christian Fellowship in England. In time, however, he began to have doubts. Among them was this. He saw that, on the one hand, there were adherents of other religions who were good people, while on the other, there were some Christians who were not very nice people, but were sure of their seat in heaven. How could it be, he wondered, that God would send these good Sikhs and Muslims and Buddhists to hell while saving those not-so-good Christians just because they believed in Jesus? I relate all this to you to point out that, at least as far as the eye of man can see, Hick's motivation was a good one. He wanted to believe that all people, no matter what religious stripe, can be saved. And isn't there something appealing about his view, again from our standpoint? Wouldn't we like everyone to be saved? And having heard about or experienced directly the violence fueled by religious fanaticism, it's easy to see why many people recoil against the claim that only one religion has the truth. The problem is that we are supposed to view our beliefs as approximations of truth, as somehow meaningful to us but not literally true. It's as though the pluralist is saying, "It's really noble of you to be so committed to your faith. Of course, we know that little of what you believe can be taken as truth, but that's okay. It gives meaning to your life." To be quite honest, I don't feel affirmed by that. My religious belief is completely undermined by this way of thinking. If Jesus isn't the only way to God, Christianity is a complete lie. So my first objection to religious pluralism is that it does not accomplish its goal of making me feel affirmed with respect to my religious beliefs beyond whatever emotional fulfillment I might get from pretending the beliefs are true. Tomorrow we'll look at another objection, namely that religious pluralism is conceptually incoherent. Yesterday I gave my first objection to religious pluralism, namely that it doesn't accomplish its goal of taking all religions and religious people seriously. My second objection is that it is incoherent as a belief about religions. Let me explain. Religions are comprised of particular beliefs about God, humankind, and the world, and they are different. Christians who know the differences between their beliefs and those of other religions find themselves staring rather dumbly at people who say that all religions are basically the same. How could anyone who knows anything about the major religions of the world even think such a thing? I suspect that most people who say this do not know the teachings of the various religions. They have some vague notions about religion in general, so they reduce these great bodies of belief to a few essentials. Don't all religions believe in a higher power or powers? Isn't their function to give meaning to our lives? Don't they all typically include such things as prayer, rituals of one kind or another in public and private worship, standards for moral living, holy books, and the like? Christian apologist Ravi Zacharias notes that most people think all religions are essentially the same and only superficially different. So, for example, Muslims have the Quran, Christians have the Bible, Jews have the Torah, Hindus have the Bhagavad Gita. Jews have their synagogues, Hindus their temples, Muslims their mosques, and Christians their churches. So at the core, the same, on the surface, different. But as Zacharias says, just the opposite is true. It's on the surface that there is similarity. That's why we can immediately look at a certain body of belief and practices and label it religion. Religions aren't identical, but they are similar enough to be under the same category. Despite the surface similarity, however, religions are essentially different. For example, Islam is theistic but Unitarian, while Christianity is Trinitarian. Hindus believe we are not true individual selves, but are parts of the all, while Orthodox Jews believe we are individuals created in the image of God. Muslims believe salvation comes through obedience to Allah, while Buddhists believe salvation, in quotes, consists of spinning out of the cycle of birth, death, and rebirth into nirvana. At their very core, religions are drastically different. So while pluralists might take the religious person seriously, they don't take his or her beliefs seriously. Tomorrow we'll see how pluralism is incompatible with Christianity. I dare say that if you polled people in your church, especially young people, you would find some who are religious pluralists. They believe that while Christianity is true for them, it isn't necessarily true for other people. Is pluralism a legitimate option for Christians? In short, no. This then is our third objection to religious pluralism, namely that religious pluralism is incompatible with Christianity because it demands that Christians deny the central truths of Scripture. The Bible is clear that salvation comes through accepting, by faith, the finished work of Jesus, who is the only way to salvation. Paul told the Romans that righteousness came through Jesus and the atoning sacrifice he made. Jesus said plainly that no one comes to the Father but by me. Because pluralism denies these specifics about salvation, it is clearly at loggerheads with Christianity. Another difference has to do with the historical nature of Christianity. Pluralists, as it were, line up all the major enduring religions in front of them and look for similarities such as those we've already noted, prayers, rituals, holy books, and so on. They abstract these characteristics and say, look, they're all really the same because they do and believe similar things. But that won't do for Christianity. It is not just some set of abstract religious beliefs and practices. It is grounded in specific historical events. God's project of salvation is inextricably connected with particular historical events, primarily the death and resurrection of Jesus. It is through historical events that God declared and carried out his plans, and nowhere do we read that he would do so with other people through other events and teachings. The truth of Christianity stands or falls with the crucifixion and resurrection of Christ and their meaning revealed by God. If the resurrection is historically false, we are to be pitied more than all men, Paul wrote. To sum up then, pluralism falls under its own weight, for it cannot affirm all religious beliefs as it seems to desire, and its belief that religions are all pretty much the same doesn't make sense. It also is certainly incompatible with Christianity, which declares that the truth of its teachings stand or fall with specific historical events. And frankly, its claim that no religion really has the truth because such truth can't be known comes off as a rather hollow declaration in light of the knowledge pluralists think they possess.